Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. All right, so here is that Q&A that I warned you about. Can anybody tell us about a really good Christmas gift? Yeah. Oh my goodness. So when Anne was 5 years old, her grandfather made her a desk himself. And that sticks with her to this day. Any other really good Christmas gifts? Vera?
Jesus.
Jesus! Yes! Okay, we're going to come back to that. See, Vera has paid attention to a children's sermon or two and knows that the answer is always Jesus. Yes, Jesus, the best Christmas gift. So if the audio drops out of the live stream, you at least have gotten what you came here for. Bob.
We kick off every holiday season.
Ah, yeah. So Bob and Susie kick off the holiday season with their anniversary on the 21st. So that relationship is a perfect Christmas gift, yeah. Marcy?
Oh, it was a gift to have my daughter home.
Ah, a gift to have your daughter home, yeah. And it's Vera's birthday on the 21st, so consider it a Vera to be born on Bob and Susie's anniversary, so that worked out very well. Gary? Ah, yes. Particularly for young boys, Gary suggests, the joy of a bicycle for Christmas. Particularly when you've got bicycling weather outside, right? So, yeah, one more.
I got a pony for my
Christmas. Ooh, a pony. Yeah. And Mary just got a donkey. Yeah. All right, so what makes a good gift in general? This could be Christmas or some other time. What is it about a gift that makes it a good gift?
It fits.
It fits. Who does it fit? Who does it fit? It fits me, right? If it's for me. Or maybe it fits you. Possibly fits Bob. Yeah. So depending on whose gift it is, who it's for, right? It has to fit. What else makes something a good gift? It's personal, yeah. So it was in the case of your desk, it was personally made for you and personally made by someone who loves you. Yeah. Marcy.
A gift that you obviously gave a lot of thought as to what that person would appreciate.
Thought about what the person, the recipient, would appreciate, yeah. So, okay, and so a book for you from the dog is clearly about you and not about her, right? Because I'm guessing she can't even read. Yeah. Unless she is an exceptional dog. So, Vera was right in the first place that the real gift that we're here to talk about, because this is a Christian church and all, is Jesus. So our scripture reading is going to actually, it moves a little bit beyond Christmas because we are reading the Gospel of John this year. And John doesn't spend a lot of time with Christmas, so we had to sort of, we've got this gift thing that we're going to set here and we're going to come back to it, so hang on to me there. But John doesn't spend a lot of time with Christmas as like the birth of a baby, right? You remember that from Friday evening. We had to switch Gospels and listen to Luke tell us about the baby. But John's Gospel is entirely about Christmas in a different sense, because John's Gospel is entirely about the incarnation, the Word of God made flesh. So there's no birth narrative in John because it would get in the way of talking about the incarnation. Because the incarnation is a mystery. The Word was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. So it's like, you know, sometimes like the star of the show will be sitting up in the audience in the dark, and nobody knows that the star is there until the spotlight like pans across the audience and finds the star of the show. That's like what John's gospel sets up for us. The incarnation, yeah, it was this historical event that took place in time, and that means that Jesus was born and ascended into heaven, but John doesn't want to draw our attention to either of those events. He wants to draw our attention to this eternal story of incarnation that is always happening in some sense among us. So we read Friday that beautiful poem that begins John's gospel, and interrupting that beautiful poem are a couple of little passages about this other John, not the one who wrote the gospel. That's confusing enough. This other John who baptized and preached in order to prepare the way for Jesus. And so today in our scripture reading, the first act actually begins. John the Baptist is on stage and he's getting ready to point to Jesus. And I promise Jesus will talk to us next week. Let me get a Bible. Will you join me in a prayer for illumination? Gracious God, by the gift of your Holy Spirit, show us the Word made flesh, good news of great joy for all, so that we may sing with the angels, glory in the highest and peace on earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From John chapter 1, verses 19 through 34. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to be clear, we call that a gift of music, and I'm about to talk about what doesn't make a good gift, and so I want to be very clear, I'm not talking about that gift. Thank you, William. But there's a gift-giving pitfall, sort of the negative side of what we talked about just a minute ago. There's a gift-giving pitfall that sometimes we fall into that I won't ask you to tell us what your bad Christmas gifts are. But sometimes we fall into that pitfall of making the gift more about us, the giver, than about the person that we're giving the gift to, right? Sometimes we make that gift about more about our expectations for what that recipient of the gift should be like than who they really are, what we really know about them. Sometimes we make the gift something that somebody has to live up to in order to even seem like they appreciate the gift. Now, we just read a story from Scripture about that great big gift, right? The capital G gift of God's presence, God's life in human flesh. And that gift-giving pitfall is averted there, right? Because that gift, the perfect gift, comes directly, completely to us. And John doesn't tell us anything about a baby or a manger or livestock or stars or sages from the east or any of that stuff, right? John doesn't give us any of that because John's gospel is not so much about making its events line up with the events of the other gospels. If you try to fit these stories perfectly together, well, you miss the point of what John is actually doing here, what the Bible is telling us about who Jesus is here, because John's gospel is all about who Jesus ultimately is, what Jesus ultimately means. So today's story begins this meditation on what the life of that baby, this baby I keep standing in front of, what the life of that baby means. So today, John the Evangelist introduces John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who is baptizing and teaching and gathering people together, but his whole job in this gospel is not to baptize or teach or gather people together. His whole job in this gospel is to point to Jesus. Now we know, historically speaking, John the Baptist was a religious leader in his own right. He had quite a following. He had many disciples. We will meet some of those disciples next week and see just how well John does at hanging on to those disciples. But that's next week's story. This week's story, well, it looks almost like it is a story about John until we realize that it's really not, that John doesn't want this to be a story about John the Baptist. This is a story about Jesus. Those religious authorities in Jerusalem, they send messengers to find out, okay, John the Baptist, who are you? They don't know that his last name is the Baptist yet. They just say, John, who are you? Tell us about yourself. And he is really careful, if you noticed, never to answer. He won't tell them who he is. He will only describe himself in relationship to Jesus. Like a good MC, he holds the stage just long enough to introduce the star of the show. So John is giving us, right here on the day after Christmas, he's giving us this perfect example of Christian life. This perfect example of Christian life, always pointing away from himself. Always pointing away from himself, and more importantly, always pointing toward Jesus. If you find representations of John the Baptist in art, especially sort of late medieval and early modern art, you will always see him. He often has a lamb next to him because he announces here, hey, look, this is the Lamb of God. But he's also always pointing away from himself and toward Jesus. He's always pointing toward God's incarnate presence here in the world with us. If that's not Christian life, I don't know what is. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he says, who takes away the sin of the world. Here is the Lamb of God who restores the world to loving relationship with God, because sin is about a broken relationship with God. And here is the Lamb of God who gathers us back together again. That statement, that takes the whole life of Jesus into account. It takes into account his death and resurrection at the climax of the gospel, but it also takes into account his teaching and feeding and healing that are coming very soon as we read this story together. And yes, it takes into account the infant in the manger. However exactly the details of that story went down, the Christmas story is about the incarnation, about the infinite God becoming fully present in a human life. That's a gift. That's a capital G gift. We're thinking about gifts today because that's what Jesus finally is. He is God's perfect gift to the world. So I said earlier, a good gift has to be not entirely about the giver. Now, I want to be really clear. Jesus, the gift, is a perfect gift because he is entirely, perfectly about the giver. He is fully God in human flesh, but also he is fully in human flesh. So he's perfectly about the giver, that capital G as well, but he's also perfectly about us, the recipients of that gift. That is, he's perfectly about God's relationship with us. Jesus' whole life is God giving himself into human life to gather the whole world into relationship with God. That gift is about God's relationship with the world. And so we can embrace that relationship like John the Baptist does in today's story by pointing away from ourselves toward that relationship that God restores with the world in Jesus. Maybe Boxing Day is actually the perfect day to think about that. That traditional gift-exchanging day in other parts of the English-speaking world. Because the way that we give gifts and the way that we choose gifts and the way that we know what gifts are, those help us recognize what it is to live this Christian life, to live the life that this baby comes to make real in the world. It invites us to think about pointing away from ourselves toward Jesus, pointing away from ourselves toward someone else. When we share these stories about good gifts, they are about paying attention to what somebody else wants and needs and what fits them. They are about putting ourselves in somebody else's shoes. They are about pouring ourselves into what we share with someone else, like a beautiful custom handmade piece of furniture. They are about a relationship, a deep, profound, lifelong relationship that we enter into as a covenant with each other, as bringing a new life into the world. Those gifts are about joy and fun, like a bicycle or a pony. Those gifts are about giving ourselves to each other. And so while families and groups of friends gather this week as we celebrate all the different ways that we celebrate this Christmas season, I pray that we too can be gifts to each other. And I pray that every part of our life can become a reflection of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Part of Covenant's mission budget supports our own Barb Brown, who serves in mission with Crew, formerly Campus Crusade, in Egypt. Barb is home visiting for Christmas, and so while the ushers pass the offering plates, we've invited her to give us an update.
Merry Christmas, or as they would say in the Middle East, Eid il-Milad Said, which means happy celebration for the birth. Unfortunately, though, in where Jesus was born, where he lived, in the area where Christianity began, Christmas is not celebrated a lot because there aren't many Christians there. I have friends who live in Bethlehem, and of course Christmas is celebrated. They get a lot of guests coming to celebrate Christmas, and it's actually celebrated twice. Christmas is celebrated December 25th, by Catholics and Protestants. It's celebrated January 7th by Orthodox, which any place in the world, whether it's Greek, Russian, Egyptian Orthodox, it's Christmas is celebrated January 7th. So they go to church January 6th in the evening. And actually for the Orthodox, many of them will fast from any meat products, or not any animal products, for 30 days before Christmas, which means that, well, you're eating a lot of vegetables, a lot of lentils and rice. So when Christmas comes, Christmas Eve, the Orthodox will have their mass. It ends after midnight. They will go home and eat meat. That's what many of them are waiting for. Also, Christmas is celebrated a little bit differently, partly because it's, well, not a big holiday in any of your Middle Eastern countries, because the main religion is Islam, or if you're in Israel, of course, there's Islam and there's Judaism. So Christmas is not a big holiday. But, of course, the Christians, yes, they do celebrate. So sadly, though, it's not the major holiday there. In Egypt, it has become a national holiday. A few years ago, the government decided to acknowledge January 7th as a holiday, and so everybody has the day off then. And it's interesting, too, that many people will say they celebrate Christmas. Many Muslims will say they celebrate Christmas, but they actually celebrate it on January 1st with Santa Claus. That's what many people will consider Christmas to be. Because, you know, you read about Christmas, you hear about it, it sounds like a fun time. So if you go to a mall, there's Christmas trees. You can go and get poinsettias for Christmas, but that's generally considered January 1st. But, you know, and even Northern Africa, there are very few Christians in North Africa. There are a few churches that are allowed, and so it's a very, very quiet holiday. If you go to, well, Libya, of course, Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco, there's really not much of a celebration for the real Christmas, we can call it. Throughout the Middle East, though, whether it's in Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, there are enough Christians there. Churches are legal, and Christmas is celebrated. Again, sometimes it's celebrated. If you go to Jordan, if you go to Lebanon, you go to Israel, both holidays are celebrated. So they will celebrate the 25th. They will also celebrate January 7th. You know, but it is an area that needs a lot of prayer because, you know, Jesus, we heard the best gift of Pharaoh's tongue. Yes, he is the gift that many people need to know about. He is recognized by Muslims as a prophet, as a good person, but not as the Messiah. And again, of course, in Israel, the Jews are still waiting for their Messiah. So we just need to continually pray that the gospel will go forth to those in the area, that they will recognize Jesus for who he is. And Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.